from the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It's Sunday, the 20th day of January, 2013. There's an important report filed by Melissa Melton.
Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Last week, Alex Jones appeared on the Piers Morgan Show on CNN to discuss his views on gun control. The following night, Pierce decided to host a panel regarding Alex's appearance, and he had on Daily Beast sports columnist Buzz Bissinger, Huffington Post Abby Huntsman, and lawyer Gloria Allred. And Mr. Bissinger made what can only be described as a threat against Alex's life. Let's take a look at this clip.
It is pathetic. It is ridiculous that you are allowed, I don't care what the justification is, that you are allowed in this country to own a semi-automatic weapon, much less a handgun. But what do you need a semi-automatic weapon for? The only reason I think you need it is, Pierce, challenge Alex Jones to a boxing match, show up with a semi-automatic that you got legally, and pop him.
I'd love to see that. In uniform.
I'll borrow my brother's uniform.
Now, as you saw in that clip, Bissinger tells Morgan the only reason he would need a semi-automatic gun is to, quote, pop Alex Jones, to which they all laugh. And Abby Huntsman actually says, I'd love to see that. And Morgan even says he would borrow his brother's uniform. And this isn't the only time during that television show that a threat was made on Alex. Earlier in the show, one of Pierre's guests also made the comment that he hoped Alex's children would not be killed.
I don't want Alex Jones to get the phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning that one of his children have been shot and killed by somebody who shouldn't have a handgun or a rifle.
This kind of talk from supposedly anti-gun activists is abhorrent. They're making a threat on national television to shoot and possibly murder someone. And it's no joke either. As you'll see in this next clip, private investigator Doug Hagman came on the Alex Jones Show just a few weeks ago and talked about how he has an inside source in the Department of Homeland Security and that the DHS is actually keeping a list of pro-gun activists and political activists who will be taken out.
Anyone reporting on journalism, speaking out against government policies, anyone who protests anything that is antithetical to this regime will be shut up and censored, if you will. And not only that, but according to my source, put on a list, because when the money supply, or when the economy collapses, when we can no longer buy anything, and the riots break out, the very first people to go, according to my source, the very first people to be rounded up, the very first targets, if you will, on the radar of this regime are the people that are speaking the truth about what's taking place.
On Hagman's site, he relayed in detail that there are lists of political dissidents maintained by DHS and vocal opponents of the politics of the global elite, the bankers, and the opponents of anything standing in their way. Well, they are on the top of the list to be, quote, handled. In the days following that broadcast, news broke that Keith Ratliff, a man behind FPS Russia, a gun show on YouTube that made the channel one of the top 10 most popular on the entire site, was tied to a chair and shot execution style in the back of the head. Then John Nevesky of Nevesky Rifle Works, a gun manufacturer known for his AR-15s, was mysteriously killed in a car crash just days after he posted a list on Facebook linking mass shootings and horrible acts of murder and suicide to antipsychotic medications. In the wake of these threats against Alex on the Piers Morgan Show, it would seem Twitter fans picked up Piers's sentiment and also threatened to shoot Alex. One Twitterer wrote, I hope Alex Jones gets taken by terrorists who shoot his arms and legs off, starting at the fingers and toes, and work their way up. Another, for the first time I see a good reason for guns in the USA. Alex Jones, someone please shoot this Muppet. I wish somebody would shoot this Alex Jones guy in the face. And then another responded, please and thank you. As the system ratchets up this war on our Second Amendment rights, we are seeing some unprecedented attacks against pro-gun activists and political activists who are just trying to fight for our freedom. Are we going to see another false flag next? Are we going to see another mass shooting, another Oklahoma City, another systematic takeout of a group like we did in Waco? Well, Doug Hagman left us with this chilling warning.
By the way, Alex, according to my DHS source, expect more. Expect at least one more. One more incident to really solidify in the minds of people that these big, bad assault rifles, a misnomer to be sure, are not to be in the hands of the American people.
For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton.
All the
It's our first visit with Ron Paul of 2013. He is now the former congressman. The first time I interviewed him, he was running for Congress again, I guess back in 95, 96. And he'd been in Congress once before as a libertarian. And, of course, went back as a Republican. And he has been our greatest defender of liberty, worldwide loved and admired. He's got big announcements coming up soon. I've heard the rumors, and I'll see if he'll give us any hint. But he joins us, obviously, to talk about the fiscal cliff that he said we've already gone over a long time ago. What's happening with that? The Sandy Hook shooting, the announcements of the NSA openly spying on us. It's like everything Ron Paul talked about 15 years ago and got called a conspiracy theorist is now just out in the open. And former congressman and really omnibudsman of liberty worldwide, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Good to be with you.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Yep, very good. Family got here. We had a lot of fun and didn't solve any world problems.
I need to learn how to unplug as well. Wow, you know, you heard what I threw out there, sir. Where would you like to start first?
Well, the things that I've talked about is mostly, well, the general, deterioration of our individual freedoms and our liberties and our markets. But I think the big thing as I wound down my career dealt with, financial and the economy. And I think both major parties and most members of the Congress are in total denial as to what the real problem is, because they think it's just a budget. You know, well, if we change this number, raise taxes, cut spending, pretend to cut spending, we solve the problem. And I think it's much bigger than that. I think, first off, the country is bankrupt. We're insolvent. We can't pay the bills, and they won't admit it. I mean, we have these obligations of $220 trillion in national debt, of $16 trillion. We're the biggest foreign debtor nation ever. And that is ignored, and they talk about, what they're going to do with tinkering with the tax code, and they talk about cuts, which aren't cuts. It's just all deceit and trying to fool the people into believing that they can tinker with a budget. But I think the problem is government is too big. They don't follow the Constitution. They don't know what the rule of government ought to be in a free society. And they don't admit we're bankrupt. And oftentimes I've used this saying that, are we going to go over the cliff? Well, in many ways, we're over the cliff in that we're not going to retrace ourselves. If you're over a cliff, you just don't have a chance to climb back up. And we really don't. We're not going to have enough people in Congress in the next go around, or do we have them now? We have better people now, and we're going to have some people speaking for us. But we can't go back and all of a sudden balance our budget, remove the regulations, and protect our liberties. All we have to do is listen to our president, what his plans are. But the Republicans aren't, doing a whole lot more, because we're facing a situation where it took 100 years for our governments and our schools to indoctrinate our people to accepting the idea that the role of government ought to be to take care of us and provide perfect safety and make sure nobody falls through, the net and take care of people and the whole world. And I think we have to address the subject, what should the role of government be? The founders made an attempt at it. They wrote a constitution. We don't obey it. And to me, if we would accept the notion that the role of government is to protect our freedoms, provide some national defense for us, provide a sound currency, and protect our liberties, there would be no warfare state and there'd be no welfare state. And nobody wants to address that. You know, in all this talk, neither Republicans or Democrats would even suggest about cutting the militarism. The only talk was, should we increase the military expenditures by 18% or 20%? The people who wanted 18% were castigated for slashing national defense and said they were, unpatriotic. So that is where the mess is. I see the mess that we're in, a problem of education, a consequence of 100 years of control of many generations, sure, indoctrinating them into bad economic policy and bad foreign policy.
Congressman, you've talked about globalism, the Bilderberg Group, people like that, but it's now in the Financial Times of London. It's in hundreds of papers, but we can probably pull some up and put them on screen, where they announce global government by the six mega banks. And I listened to Bloomberg Financial on XM,
And they brag that they've conquered Europe with debt. They've signed the Europeans on to derivatives. They've got them dependent on socialism. But most of the debt is actually the central bank's debt that are really private. And now I see them wrecking us, Congressman, on purpose to make us debt slaves while also making us dependent. I mean, surely they know the facts. Even the Congressional Budget Office, as you know, 3 or 4 years ago said we were bankrupt. All these other government economists have admitted this. So you're not just somebody who studied economics. You're also a medical doctor. It's kind of like a patient that's got cancer all over their body. This is already a done deal. So what's your take on my statement that we've been maneuvered into rack and ruin by loan sharks? I mean, I think it's important to not just say they're a bunch of buffoons in D.C. Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and others, in my research, are just mafia organizations that want us as basically debt slaves on a sharecropping plantation.
I think it's partially true, but it also involved indoctrination through education. It's just not 10 or 15 people who get together and all of a sudden they can change people's minds. People endorse Keynesianism. They endorse the Federal Reserve. They endorse us being the policemen of the world and we should have these wars in the Middle East. So they have been indoctrinated. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are a few who are going to benefit. You know, I can't read into their minds. I don't know. They sit back and say, you know what, we're going to bankrupt the country and cause this chaos. I think they try to get away with manipulating and maneuvering and benefiting themselves both with power and money. And philosophically, it doesn't work out. So they have to react. So they take advantage of it. It's sort of like taking advantage. Don't let a major crisis go to waste. I mean, they create the problems. They think they're going to get away with it. And then when the crisis hits, they make use of it. And they say, well, we have to do. They're motivated by money and power. And they have to kind of control.
Sure,
politics.
Sure. I'm talking
about. I don't
think
they're smart enough to, on a daily basis, say, well, we're going to do A and B is going to be results. I think they're mostly unintended consequences that occur. And they react. I'd like to get people to react differently.
I agree with you that at the mid-level and even the upper levels, obviously, it's just a corrupt system people have been born into now. But I'm talking about the 112-point plan that got leaked out of the World Bank when Joseph Stiglitz resigned, the Nobel Prize winner in economics, in 2002. It talked about how they manipulated third world countries into bankruptcy to take control, and it discussed doing it to the West. So at Bilderberg, from our sources, but also at Davos, I've got Herman Von Rompuy, head of the EU, saying we're going to use the financial crisis to bring in the new world order.
That may be, and I don't know every individual who makes these plans, but I do know that I meet a lot of people who believe. I mean, you take a guy like Bernanke. I think Bernanke actually believes that junk. You know, I think he really believes that he's been sent here by the Creator to make sure we never have a Great Depression before because they didn't print the money fast enough. I don't think he sits and says, and goes much further than this, because he has invested a lifetime into proving this ideology. I think he's wrong. He's determined to prove he's right. So he creates trillions and trillions of dollars. And then these people that you're talking about, they know what's going on, and they line up, and they get involved, and they learn how to manipulate the system for political reasons. So we know that
there's different factions.
Our president has an agenda, and it's very, very clear. So he works his agenda with the system that exists.
I agree with you. There's different factions who only care about themselves, and together the perfect storm. But you're saying he thinks he's right, you think you're right. Sir, I watched a speech that's in our film Matrix of Evil you gave in 2003 at McKinney Ruff's right outside Austin, here in South Austin, and you laid out everything that was going to happen, how they'd use the drones here, how they'd have the NSA spy on us, how they would use the Patriot Act on the citizens, how when they collapse things, they would use that to take full control, how the derivatives bubble would work. I mean, it's like you're a prophet, but you're not. You were in there in the committees. You've studied history. You know what was going to happen. You said the stimulus wouldn't work. You said all these things wouldn't work. You said that the Republicans would vote to raise taxes. $1 of cuts for every 41 in spending increases. 77% of Americans with tax increases on payroll. I mean, it's like the lying. And what's happened is we've been eased into this tyranny. And so now you're here saying, well, we'll see who's going to be proven right. You've been proven right, Congressman. Toot your own horn.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with the conclusion of our important interview with Congressman Ron Paul. taking this moment to bash Glenn Beck. I've tried to be nice to him, but he says he's now the leader of the libertarian movement.
Yes, I saw that. I'll have to check him out. I wonder what he believes in.
Yeah, because he told me that your supporters 4 years ago were going to blow us up with bombs and that we did Oklahoma City. And then he keeps, you know, saying that we shouldn't get in the government's face. I mean, my only deal with Glenn Beck is he says I'm dangerous and basically shouldn't be on the air. Piers Morgan basically says that as well. And then now he tells me that he's my leader and that he's now going to become Ron Paul and Alex Jones, I guess, mixed. Do you have any comments on that?
Not too much, because I don't know exactly what he's talking about. All I can do is speak for myself on what I believe in and what I'm trying to do. And I've been pretty much upfront on, you know, what the principles are and in which direction we should go and effort. I think I do one thing differently than others, and that is I try to stick to, you know, ideas rather than personalities. And, of course, we've already mentioned the president, and I mentioned George Bush. But over the years, I basically don't attack the individuals. I don't generally attack Bernanke.
Sure, but you did call him a demagogue when he said that your supporters wanted to blow up buildings.
Yeah, that's for sure. But so, but generally speaking, I don't do the personality thing. That is, doesn't mean that, matter of fact, if you do the personality thing, you get a lot more attention, but I don't want it to distract. If people want, they'll try to entice me to say, what should we do with Bernanke? How should we punish him?
Remember
what our governor said that we should do with him. I might agree with it, and I might even say things along that way, but most of the time I'll go and say, it's the system. It's the system of the Federal Reserve.
I agree.
That is what I want to concentrate. Some people will concentrate on different things. They'll have different tactics and different viewpoints, and I think that's fine.
No. Listen, I think Glenn Beck does a lot of great work and has gotten better and better. He is just systematically, I don't infight. You'll never hear my show talking about other people that are in the liberty movement. He just routinely says, I made up the 1.6 billion bullets, even though that's AP Reuters, direct federal purchases. You know, I'm making up the police state. I'm making up NSA spying. Your supporters want to blow buildings up. I mean, he is trying to gatekeep, and I'm just warning you that unless you join with Sauron, Dr. Paul, he's gonna stab you in the back. And I'm only saying that like kind of like a chart when you're coming into a bay in a boat. I'm just marking the chart, Dr. Paul, but you're a smart guy. You know that. We've only got about 6-7 minutes left. In closing, Sandy Hook and now the Feinstein bill and others to make us physically turn them in, not just go back and re-register with the ATF at their pleasure. Now they want to just open where they decide, law-abiding citizens turning their guns in. What is your take on that, and are you concerned about a purge or persecution of gun owners?
Well, I'm concerned about their inconsistency. They want to get rid of guns because somebody used a gun and did some violence. But we all know that more people are getting killed with hammers and fists and knives. So they're not very consistent. They see an opportunity. They want to get rid of the guns. Some people believe they're dangerous and want to get rid of them, and other people want to get rid of them because they know that guns can resist the government tyranny. And some people like the idea that governments become tyrants and they should run things. As long as the government kills children, it's okay. So they want to protect that. You know, all that scandal and outcry, which much of it was justified, seeing kids getting killed, it's a horror. But at the same time, how about those people who are saying, okay, this is an excuse to take away the rights of people who use guns to defend their family? How many of them are shouting and screaming about the children that our drones are killing on a daily basis because they're Muslim kids in different color and they're overseas and nobody has to line them up and shoot them? We can do it by directing drones from this country. That doesn't even count. So that's what their whole goal is to distract us from some of the horrors that governments perpetuate and the way they destroy our liberties and they perpetuate the violence. I mean, compared to the violence that governments have perpetuated on the people versus what the people do to each other, there's no contest.
Historically, government's the number one killer, as you know. University studies out of Hawaii and others, 292 million people killed in the 20th century, non-military combatants. We have a red alert, sir, that just came out while you were on with us. DrudgeReport.com, Weekly Standard, AP, you name it. Obama, White House threatens executive action to physically confiscate the firearms. Biden has now given a speech, sir. They've got a bunch of state reps and federal reps. I've literally got over 10 articles. They're all calling for executive orders. And Obama is saying now that he'll do everything in his power, including executive orders. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we feared. Congressman, constitutionally, that's beyond a constitutional crisis. As a constitutional expert, sir, if he signs an order ordering we turn in our guns, what does that mean?
Well, it should go without saying that he's gone way too far. It also should go without saying that he's acting with the use of illegal violence, and he becomes the violent person to say that if you don't, and this is not new. He's been doing this, you know, environmental if Congress moves too slowly, well, I'll write an executive order. But he didn't invent the executive order and the signing orders. I'll ignore this. It's a bipartisan thing.
But it's accelerating and getting dictatorial. They now say our military.
Yeah, it's been.
What do we do if Obama orders us to turn our guns in? Doesn't that make him a dictator if he just says, I'll do whatever I want?
Certainly a dictatorial move on that. If the American people had been a little bit better versed, maybe they wouldn't have reelected him. So I do not say that he is a dictator like some of the 20th century dictators that killed 290 million people. But these are dictatorial moves. They're very, very dangerous. And people say to me, why are you worried about, the military arresting American citizens, National Defense Authorization Act? Because only one or two people were involved. Yeah, but the principle is 100%. When you establish your principle. So what he's doing is perpetuating a principle of putting more power into the presidency. And it's very, very dangerous.
Setting the precedent under NDAA. We're almost out of time. Sir, will you turn in your semi-autos?
Well, I might not even have anything to turn in for that purpose. But I don't think the American people will. I've always assumed that the line in the sand may well be drawn. If the federal agent marches in unannounced and they say, well, give me your gun and give me your gold, I don't think we'll do that, calmly. I think the American people will highly resent it and resist.
So you think I was right then telling Piers Morgan if they try to confiscate the guns, it will start 1776 Part 2?
Well, I don't know whether I put them in the same words, but I think I said something very similar to what you're saying.
Well, God bless you, sir. I hope we can get you back again in a month.
Very good.
What are any other websites that are important to plug? Just campaignforliberty.org?
Do that, and then we'll be listing some new things there because we're making some other web pages. I'm going to have a home page. Unfortunately, I didn't have ronpaul.com, so I'm going to have ronpaulshomepage.com. That'll be coming up, but it's not ready yet.
All right, big announcements coming soon. We'll talk to you and say hi to the family. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Great to talk to that man during this dark time. I told you executive orders were coming. They're getting us ready to see if we'll take it. Ladies and gentlemen, this could be it. Well, that concludes my interview with Congressman Ron Paul last week. Just incredibly important information where he agrees with me that most Americans' line in the sand is the Second Amendment. It's how our country was founded. And this is nothing but pure tyranny we're witnessing right now. So I pray we can fix this peacefully through the courts, through the states, and through the Congress. And a lot of people are standing up against this tyranny, including our next interview. Former state rep and, of course, Luby's massacre survivor and mother and all-around just amazing patriot, Susanna Hupp. I talked to her, and here are some excerpts of this incredibly important interview.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Representative Susanna Gracia Hupp, former representative. She's a survivor of the Luby's massacre. Some of her family was killed. She famously testified before Congress to Chuckie Schumer that, hey, our guns aren't for duck hunting. The full testimony is up at InfoWars.com right now. We just reposted it up there. She said it's to protect us from you guys up there. And I wanted to get her on the air because she was instrumental nationwide testifying before legislatures everywhere, not just the Texas legislature that she later chaired committees on, to get concealed carry in. And we've seen 25-30% or more reductions in every state that's done it. So she'll be joining us to the bottom of the hour here in just a moment. Here is just a short excerpt of her testimony before Congress.
The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our right, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
Man, and boy, that was what, back in the mid-1990s, and here we are in 2013. Great way to kick off the new year with a champion of liberty who, I've got to say, if any one person got concealed carry in, you can say what you want about it turning a right into a privilege. The point is that it put guns on the street in law-abiding citizens' hands, and the criminals are keeping their heads down. Violent crime down over 20% nationwide on average since then. We've shown the new FBI statistics. Except in areas where they've taken the guns, crime is up. Former representative, talk show host on 590 AM, you name it, best-selling author, Mrs. Hupp, good to have you on with us.
Hey, happy New Year to you, Alex.
Wow, I am excited. What's your take on everything that's happening and the open calls now in the Feinstein bill to physically make you turn guns in?
It's a scary thing, isn't it? I've talked to a lot of friends of mine who we all kind of talk big. You know, you hear the from my cold dead fingers comments. But the truth of the matter is, if a bunch of jackbooted thugs show up at my door and put a gun to my child's head and says, turn over all your guns or else, I'm probably going to turn over my guns. You know, so I think it's really important, and I think this is why so often revolutions are mostly about young people and young people without extended families. You know what I mean? It's a scary world right now.
It certainly is, but there's 160-plus million gun owners. If 1% fight back, that's 1.5 million soldiers. I agree, most people are going to turn them in, at least in the first wave, but the tyranny that follows is going to result in a civil war. And if you notice all the branding of Obama as the new Lincoln and how he's going to kick the butt of the states, it's pretty creepy.
It is. It's very frightening. And, you know, when I talk about people turning in their guns, I think there are an awful lot of people that are going out of their way to purchase guns that don't have a track record, you know, that can't be traced to them. And those guns are going to be hidden and buried all over the place. And, you know, we might be some of those people. Alex, you and I are going to be the first doors that they knock on.
You're right. They're going to try to make examples of people. Why do you think, for listeners that just joined us, we have the clip, Dianne Feinstein and others are saying, Mr. and Mrs. America, get ready to turn your guns in.
Why do I think she's doing that? I think because she's absolutely clear that she has the backing of the president, and she now has, I would say, 70% of the media firmly behind her. You know, I was actually sitting getting a manicure a few days ago, and there was a lady kind of across from me, somebody I didn't know at all, and she got to talking about the guns and the shooting in Connecticut, and she turned to me and said, well, I just think we should get rid of all the guns. What do you think? Of course, that was a mistake, right? No, I took it very easy on her, and I didn't tell her any of my background or anything. And I simply said, well, you know, I've thought about it, and it seems to me that not one single one of these mass shootings has ever occurred where guns were allowed. And she stopped and she kind of blinked and she got up and she went and washed her hands and then came back and sat down and looked at me and she said, you know, I never thought about that, but you're right. So I think there are an awful lot of people out there that you can't grab with statistics. You can't grab with logic. I think there are a lot of people out there that you have to put them in a position of being, you know, as close as you can, put them mentally in the position of being completely helpless, and then ask them if they would rather have somebody with them, even if they choose not to have a gun, if they would rather have somebody with them that knows how to use one or not. You know, even if they won't defend themselves, most people are willing to defend their child. So I do my best to talk about that sort of thing.
I know it's hard for you to talk about it, but you do to save other lives. And I've got to commend you again. As you know, people can pull up the uniform crime statistics. Since concealed carry became ubiquitous in most states, crime rates on average around 24 to 25%. national, it's only about 20 because of some of the gun-free zones like Chicago and New York. But the Luby's Massacre was a mass murder that took place October 16th, 1991, in Killeen, Texas, United States, when George Henard crashed his pickup truck through the front window, got to ban pickup trucks, on a Luby's cafeteria and shot 50 people, killing 23. Exchanged shots with responding officers and then hid in a bathroom and fatally shot himself. You were there. You lost your parents. I know it's tough to talk about, but we've now seen fathers that lost children in the last few shootings come out and say, don't use this to take people's guns, but the media tries to ignore them. You as a survivor, I mean, you more than anybody have a right to lay out the record. Can you, for people that don't know, describe what happened and what would have happened if you would have had a firearm?
Well, to try to keep it brief for you folks, my parents and I was about 31, I think, at the time, where I just dated myself. My parents and I had gone to a local cafeteria, and we were actually eating with the manager of the cafeteria. The place was packed. It was boss's day. It was the day after payday, middle of the day, beautiful day. And this guy drove his truck through the window. It was a floor-to-ceiling window. And crashed into a number of tables and came to a jerking halt pretty much in the middle of the restaurant. And, of course, you think it's an accident. And we began to rise up to go help the people they had knocked over, and we heard gunshots. I was on the passenger side of the vehicle, and it was maybe 15 feet away from me. My father and I immediately got down on the floor and turned the table up on its side in front of us. My mom was down behind us. And the shooting continued. Realize this was 1991 and these mass shootings weren't occurring back then, so it wasn't the first thing that comes to your mind. We were waiting for him to say something like, all right, everybody put your wallets up on the table, or something like that. But that didn't happen. He just kept shooting. And when he worked his way around the front of the truck and he was working toward us, a full, I'm going to say 45 seconds had passed. And I realized he was just executing people. And it took 45 seconds. Alex, 45 seconds is an eternity. When I did realize that, I reached for my purse that had fallen on the floor next to me. I thought, I've got him. I've got this guy. I used to carry a gun in my purse illegally because an assistant DA out of Houston that was a patient of mine convinced me to carry it illegally. But I did like most people. You know, you think, eh, what are the odds? If I need a gun, it's going to be if I break down on a back road somewhere. It's sure as heck not going to be in a crowded restaurant in the middle of the day. But my gun was 100 yards away in my car where I had begun dutifully leaving it. So long story short, at that point, my dad started to break free from my grip and said, I've got to do something, and I've got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here. And he made a run at the guy, and the guy just turned and shot my father in the chest. I apologize. I'm trying to make it a short story.
No, it's important. Thank you for sharing it.
We'll be right back with more of this powerful testimony from Susanna Hupp. I'm Alex Jones.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Again, thanks for tuning in on the Sunday transmission. We're also here weekdays, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, the website is Infowars.com. Let's go back to this amazing testimony by Luby's Massacre survivor, Susanna Hupp.
The good news with that, my dad was mortally wounded. I mean, he had covered maybe half the distance. He was 7-8 feet from me, but he was still alive. The good thing about that was it made the gunman change directions, and he had to go off to my left instead of continuing directly toward me. Somebody way at the back of the restaurant broke out on one of the windows back there and began to escape through that window. People were able to escape that way. We were kind of up in a front corner and couldn't get out. When I saw what I thought was a chance, the gunman had his back turned toward me. I stood up, I grabbed my mother by the shirt collar and said, come on, we got to run, we got to get out of here. And my feet grew wings to circle it back around. My mom did not follow me out, and I didn't know that until after, literally, I was outside of the restaurant.
She was staying with your dad, wasn't she?
The police officers later told me what happened to her. They said that, and a number of them were patients of mine, and they took me and my family to lunch about a week later and told us. They said that when they got into the front, they saw a woman on her knees cradling a mortally wounded man. And they didn't know who the gunman was. And they saw this 30-something-year-old man walk up to her. They said he put a gun to her head. She looked up at him, put her head down, and he pulled the trigger. And they said all they had to do was fire a shot into the ceiling, and this guy rabbited to a back bathroom alcove area. And as he said, exchanged a little gunfire with him and then put a bullet in his own head. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary a couple of weeks prior to this, and it just didn't occur to me while I was running. Mom wasn't going anywhere without Dad. So I was really angry, Alex. I was really angry. I felt very guilty. I was very angry. I know people think I made this up later, but you can check the newspapers from the second day. I said I was angry at my legislators because they had legislated me out of the right to protect myself and my family. And you can say, well, Susanna, you could have missed. Yeah, I could have. Your gun could have jammed. Well, okay, it's possible. It was a revolver, not likely, but it's possible. But the one thing you can't argue with is it would have changed the odds. I can't begin to tell you how frustrating it is to sit there and wait for it to be your turn and having no way, no means of defending yourself. I can't imagine being in that position again and having my children or my grandchildren with me and having no way of defending them. Makes me physically ill.
Well, we now have countless cases since you went public back in 91, 92, 93, where people have at churches and everywhere else stopped gunmen. Just happened down in San Antonio. It's just happened other places just since the Sandy Hook shooting. And the media will not cover it nationally. And we see these countless local news videos of gunmen coming in trying to shoot people for no reason at shops and concealed carry folks that know how to use them. Take them out. And I see the gun grabbers rushing in to try to ban guns right now because they know the gun culture and the self-defense culture is taking over society. All the top-rated TV shows, women out buying guns, liberal women's magazines, you know, show women with guns now. Not because they want guns, the liberal owners, but because they realize women have woken up. They're losing. That's why they're launching this offensive against the Second Amendment. Would you like to elaborate on that statement? Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with you, but I do think that they see an opportunity here because of the Connecticut shooting. You know, it's so hard for any of us to imagine that all those little children being just executed like that. It's just you want a way.
And they put the guilt onto us. Have you ever seen such demonization of gun owners where they say we're Klan, Nazis, we helped kill those children when it was a gun-free zone and the media advertising crazies go to schools and kill people. If anybody has blood on their hands, it's them.
Isn't that the truth? That's something that I've advocated for years, is for teachers to be able to carry. And, of course, here in Texas, individual schools can make that decision. My school does not allow the teachers to carry. But I can tell you that I know a few that carry anyway. They just keep their mouth shut and do it, thank God. You know, the bad guys, I don't know why people don't get this. Bad guys like that want a high body bag count. They're going to go where they think they can shoot as many people as possible without anybody shooting back at them.
Nobody knows these cowards like you. No doubt your father saved your life. Nobody knows these evil people like you. Susanna Hupp, a survivor of the Libby's Massacre, here with us, and really, you know, the grandmother of the concealed carry movement. No doubt, not to use the term grandmother like she's old, but she's the person that really started it. Thank God, and saved countless lives. Why do these cowards always commit suicide as soon as the cops show up? I mean, it just shows they really are ghoulish demons, that they all act exactly the same.
You know, I'm trying to teach my children. I have two boys, 16 and 14. And I think society in general tries to teach people that these bad guys are just misunderstood, or they've had a hard life, or, you know, all the various and sundry excuses that you can come up with for them. I mean, I've actually literally had people ask me, why didn't you try to talk the guy down? Like, argue with that. It's such a stupid statement.
Yeah, just shot your dad in the chest, and then you're going to go talk to him.
Let me go talk to this guy about his childhood. What I'm trying to teach my children is that, you know, there certainly are criminals. I would say the vast majority of criminals in the world that were created. You know, they did have bad childhoods and whatnot. But there's also evil. I honestly believe there is absolute evil that exists in the world.
That's my next point. Have you noticed that with Son of Sam, Ramirez, the Night Stalker, Harrison Kleibold, Lanza, and the guy that just shot the firefighters, they were all admitted devil worshipers. Shouldn't we be profiling them?
I did not know that, but I'm not even slightly surprised. Maybe mildly surprised, but not shocked. How about that?
It's incredible.
Evil exists, and I believe that you must do your best to stand between evil and innocent people. And it doesn't mean, again, I want to make this clear, because, you know, I'll tell you what one of my biggest fears is, Alex. One of my biggest fears is that I'm going to be in some position that I get shot and killed by a bad guy, and I'm not able to get a round off for some reason. And I'm so afraid that the other side is going to say, see, her gun didn't help her. And I've said it a million times. It's not a guarantee. It changes the odds.
It means you're not a helpless prey animal to be fed upon by devil worshippers and psychopaths.
At least I'm not going to be an easy target. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best to bloody them. You know, they might take me out, but I'm going to do my best to put them in the hospital at the very least. Everybody's going to know who the bad guy is.
You know, in the time we have here, because I know you've got to go, Shane, maybe you can do 5 more minutes with us after the break to talk about your book, which I need to carry at the InfoWars online bookstore because I know it's so important. We all need to reach out to the dumbed down people that really think turning their guns in is going to protect them. Looking at Dianne Feinstein, have you seen the testimony in Congress where she admits she has a concealed carry but doesn't want you to be able?
I have seen written quotes from it, but I have not actually seen it, no.
It's amazing, though. I mean, how can they all have bodyguards and she can be worth $100 billion, but then we're not supposed to have guns?
I remember being on CNN or one of those shows when Rosie O'Donnell, there had been some incident with one of her adopted children. A bodyguard protected the child, you know, and I went on the air and said, she must be horribly, horribly, feel awfully silly at the moment. Because she's telling all of us to disarm, and most of us don't have her kind of money that we can hire personal bodyguards for our kids. And she must be terribly embarrassed. But I feel that way pretty much about Feinstein and most of them. It's just an elitist attitude. It's okay for me, but it's not for you because I don't trust you.
Well, if you notice, I've even got Christian Science Monitor admitting, I have an article, that our government's trying to restrict free speech online and going the way of China. I've got an article after you leave us we're going to go over where top Georgetown professors saying, yeah, go ahead and kill old people, death panels. I mean, they're not just going after the Second Amendment. Do you see it as a big canary in the coal mine that they are this open and brazen right now?
Here's what I really think, Alex. I don't think Obama is the problem. I don't think Feinstein is the problem. I honestly believe that our public education system is the problem. Because those are the people that are growing up to run for office that think socialism and Marxism is a good thing. They're the ones that grow up and vote for the Obamas and the Feinstein. So I truly believe, you know, you and I tend to attack this, and a lot of partisans tend to attack this at the top. You know, well, we have to get so-and-so out of office or into office. And I really hold that the problem is down in the school system.
All right, folks, that's all we've got time for with Susanna Hupp. We're going to go to break and start the second hour with special reports. Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we discovered her. We found her identity, the Obama phone lady. Obama got us a phone. He's going to do more. That's right. I had her in studio last week. That's coming up as well.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Our reporters went out on the streets of Austin to get people's take on the attempted gun ban.
I'm here to not only talk about voting no on some of the legislation that is loosening up registration and re-registration of gun owners, but more importantly, to ban all assault weapons.
An assault weapon is a weapon full automatic. It is allowed only the military and the police.
It's only for the military and police and for a special trust where you can get, where you can buy a class three weapon.
I don't think that taking away a person's right to bear arms is the answer, but I do believe that there should be restrictions. I have a clean record. So technically, I could go to a gun show and purchase as many guns as I want to, have them in my house. I have a four-year-old daughter. Why should I have an assault rifle?
A gun show, a shooting range. You never see mass shootings there. There's all kinds of ammo and guns and people walking all around them.
Yeah, I don't support the assault weapon ban. What I do believe is a good alternative would be, like my colleague here mentioned, is stronger restrictions when it comes to evaluating the people's mental health, psychiatrist exam or something.
Now, what about in China where a gentleman, I believe it was around the same time, slashed 20 children with a knife? What do you say to people who may bring that up?
Well, I can tell you that I'm a citizen of America, and in America we're a civilized people. And as civilized people, we need to set our own rules in place to govern our country.
What did you say to people who say, well, maybe the Sandy Hook guy had a gun, but this guy had a knife?
A person with a knife is a lot easier to subdue.
What do you think about gun-free zones at schools?
Oh, free massacre zone.
Say the principal had a gun in her office. Would she have had time to even pull it out, take off the safety, and use it? And to that extent, so I don't think that's a good argument.
How long did they have to wait till someone got there to stop this guy?
Right.
Because no one in this quote-unquote safe school zone or no gun zone was there to defend the children.
Obama's kids, they go to a school with 11 guards.
Now, besides assault weapons, are you for any other type of legislation, such as banning high-capacity magazines or certain types of ammunition, anything like that?
Yes, but I think the core of it is to get rid of the weapons.
People say they don't want you to have more than 10 rounds in your magazine.
You know, it's just another incremental step. I mean, okay, is it 10 rounds a day? Is it 5 rounds next week?
One of the alternatives I really, really would push for would be raising the price on bullets. Raising the price on bullets, raising the taxes on bullets.
Okay, you realize that a deer rifle or an AR-15 are basically the same thing, just one looks spookier than the other?
Well, it should be a weapon that shoots one bullet at a time.
The federal government recently just spent, you know, just purchased $1.6
billion. I believe it was in the past calendar year.
Well, if it's the federal government purchasing it, then it's probably going to go to our law enforcement. And I think that's something that our law enforcement people need.
Not too long ago, the Empire State Building, where the police opened fire on one guy and hit 8 or 9 other people who were not their intended target. So, what do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I have no comment on that.
Don't you want to defend yourself against tyranny?
Yes,
somebody,
sir, I do.
That wants you put down like this, wants you make you a slave? Isn't that the freedom of the Second Amendment?
Now, as far as the Second Amendment, it has the right to a well-regulated militia. Do you think a well-regulated militia could use something like assault weapons?
And the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms.
And it also has for a well-regulated militia. That's also in there as well, miss.
Well, it's our military is our militia, not our common everyday citizens.
Now, sir, there are people out there that say, why do you need a semi-automatic rifle such as the one allegedly used in the Sandy Hook shooting?
Well, just once again, it's not about my need. It's about my right.
Miss, if I can ask you a question talking about the blood of children on our hands, the Obama administration, and it went back to Bush as well, had something called Operation Fast and Furious, where they gave fully automatic weapons to Mexican drug cartels. Now, they said it was a sting operation, but it was used to kill a Border Patrol agent, policemen, as well as other children. Do you think anybody should be held accountable for that?
Okay, I'm not going to comment on that.
When seconds count, police are only minutes away. And I carry a 1911 because the policeman's too heavy.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now the top story at Infowars.com and DrudgeReport.com. with the video. We played it earlier. White House threatens executive orders on guns. I told you that was coming. Larry Pratt, executive director of Gun Owners of America, told you that. There have been a lot of tweets sent out calling for my death, calling for Larry Pratt's death, calling for Wayne LaPierre's death at NRA. They say we killed the children. They say it's our fault. I guess we killed the people that died or been injured in that big ferry crash. We got to ban ferries now. Bad things happen. There's 7.5 billion people in the world, or close to it. 315 million here. They wave the bloody shirt of 24 dead children that we pray for, and their families, and then tell us we did it when they're the ones that made them victim disarmament zones. And I told you, they're going to use an executive order. The ATF last year started telling gun shops what to do outside law, and they told him, hey, don't argue. When he's reelected, we'll do whatever we want. I talked to multiple gun show people in Tennessee, in Arizona, in California, and Austin. We broke that they were being given memos, and they said, well, there's no law. This law didn't pass. And they said, well, you do what we say, or we're going to shut you down. We found an I that wasn't dotted, literally. And now when you go in to do your background, it's all put in a computer. It all go when you call the feds, it's all computerized. You're already registered. They're now saying they're going to physically take the semi-autos. Like Dianne Feinstein said, Mr. and Mrs. America, get ready to turn your guns in. That's a quote. And then Piers Morgan says, I don't want your guns. I just want you to turn all these in. And then I get angry at him. And then he says, I'm dangerous and shouldn't have guns when I have no criminal record. And then the next night, last night, and the man we're about to talk to is scheduled to be on there tonight, Larry Pratt, Piers Morgan doesn't have a big audience, but when it's a gun debate, it goes in all the other news and tens of millions, probably 100 million. I mean, this is the biggest story in the last 2 days is what I did with Piers Morgan. And that wasn't my full plan, but it was part of it. If he pulled bull, I was going to get in his face because all he ever does is bully people. So I gave him his own medicine back and put him on notice because I realized what Ron Paul said last hour. He said, the line in the sand is the guns. There will be a revolution. He agreed with me if they come to take the guns. It will happen. Folks, I don't want this to happen. I'm not planning to physically resist. I'm a media person. I'm a general. Okay? They're going to use this to purge and persecute gun owners. And it is going to be an unmitigated nightmare for police and military. Even if you try to carry it out, it's a death sentence. And that's the globalist plan. They've been preparing for this. And police are like, you're right. If this happens, it's going to be horrible. But they wouldn't dare. Yes, they will. And they're getting it ready for another executive order with the next mass shooting you know will happen with all their hyping. And now we have them saying, Larry, I called you this morning to get you on when you were driving into work. Have you had a chance to see the CNN clip now where the host and his two guests talk about shooting me and agree it's okay as long as they wear a uniform?
Alec, I haven't had a chance to even look at a clock. I've been so nonstop. But I'll tell you what, you were just discussing this executive order. That is something that I believe I might have even talked about on your show, because you've been nice enough to have me on so many times. But sometime well into last year, it occurred to me, these guys don't have the votes in Congress. And after the election, it was clear they didn't have the votes in Congress for the next Congress either. But Obama has shown by what he's done in other areas, such as immigration, he'll just bloody well do what he wants and issue an executive order against the law, against the Constitution. Hey, when you're socializing the country, what's a few broken laws here and there? They were only put on the books by a bunch of dead people that aren't here anymore. It's our country now, and I want it because I got elected. And so I think he believes he might have been elected king, although even the British king has far less power than what he's presuming. But I saw what they would do. If you assume the guy is lawless, then you don't have to be a prophet, and I'm not a prophet, but I could see that that would be, for him, the course of least resistance. That's where his water would flow, if you will. And he's doing it.
Well, I had Ron Paul on, and you just heard me basically paraphrase what he said. He agreed that they want a civil war. They know what they're doing. If they think they're going to get 160 million gun owners to turn their guns in, there will be a percentage that's not going to go along with it.
Well, it's very, very, very critical that if anything bad comes down, that it be very clear that it was the government initiating violence. Remember Lexington and Concord. that day's battle was started by the British, because I think his name was Preston or Prescott. The captain on Lexington Green said, hold your fire until fired upon. And if I recall correctly, there were a couple of guys that died almost immediately following that order because the British did fire first.
Yeah, quite a few of them, but that gave them the
moral high ground.
Moral high ground.
And I think it's absolutely essential that be that we hold our fire, that we even be willing to perhaps be the first one down, because we are in a war of ideas, a monster culture clash, and it's absolutely essential that we be perceived as the law-abiding ones, as the lawful ones. We need to make it understandable that there are two kinds of rebels. There's the rebel who goes out in the mountains on his own and is out there kind of like Robin Hood shooting people. And then there's the rebel that comes with a badge. If either one of them are acting outside the law, that makes them a rebel. And I know the statists of our time can't get it through their head that they could be the rebels. But the Constitution was put up to strictly limit what the federal government can do.
Well, that's profound what you said. When Lenin took over and then Stalin, they were rebels, and they even call us counter-revolutionaries. That's what Bill Ayers and Obama in his training, they know they're the rebels. That's why they operate like this and are buying 1.6 billion bullets and armored vehicles and demonizing real Americans, because they are an occupying rebel enemy force against the Republic. And you're absolutely right.
So we need to remember the Battle of Lexington. It ultimately went very poorly for the British that day because our guys insisted that the moral high ground be theirs. And that may take a lot more courage than would be needed to go and hide behind a rock and shoot, which they did later in the day. But to stand there at first, naked against the British ball that was coming down at them out of those muskets, that was real courage. But they knew why they were there. And in fact, their preacher had preached on that the Sunday before, and he was there with them because he believed as much as they did what he'd been preaching about.
I believe he died.
I don't remember that, but that's entirely possible, because it was not a fun day for either side. The British ultimately lost about a quarter to a third of their entire regiment that they sent out, some 800 guys. Not that many made it back. And more importantly, we were able to get to London ahead of the British couriers and point out what had happened and who had fired first, and that it was this oppressive government that we'd been hollering about for 4 and 6 years in formal petitions, petitions of right, bills of right, all those kinds of things were going over to the British mainland, being published in their newspapers, and then it finally came to that. And so I think we have to remember that history, the history that's not being taught in our government schools.
Sure.
But our forefathers did it right, and God willing,
yes, sir,
we'll do it right.
We'll be right back with the conclusion of our important interview with the head of Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt. Believe we're to the point that we're having to talk about 1775, 1776. I mean, this is not a joke. And I had you on a few weeks ago, and I said, from all I've seen, this will be the greatest assault ever. And you said it's shaping up to be that. undoubtedly now, Larry Pratt of GunOwners.org, this is clearly the greatest assault ever.
Certainly in my lifetime. For a while, I've been comparing it to Columbine, but I'm beginning to think that they are much bolder than they were even back in Columbine. And one of the guys here made a suggestion, which I still think could well be the case, and that is they've overreached. What Dianne Feinstein has proposed in her legislation is so far beyond what she got enacted in 94 that they're essentially, with a few exceptions, coming for it all. Her much-vaunted statement after she had enacted her quote-unquote limited gun ban of 1994 was, well, I just didn't have the votes. Otherwise, I'd have said, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in. Well, we know what her objectives are, so we shouldn't be fooled. She's told us. And she's now indicating that she wants more. Now, I think she's getting greedy, and I think we can use that against her. Without money, guarantee you, Alex, none of these Jaspers here inside the Beltway are volunteers. They're extremely well paid. I'm sure that 99% of your listeners would love to have what this 1% that works here in the government class is being paid. So this is definitely something that can be solved partially by money. If we can get a get around the Speaker of the House, who is like a downed tank blocking a bridge, and if somehow we can build another bridge or get him off the bridge in some way, then I think we could actually enact a spending measure that had a proviso in it. None of these funds may be used for the implementation of executive order, whatever it might be.
Well, sure, go ahead.
They're out of gas at that point.
You have always, again, been a very measured, calm person, and I'm like that in private. When I get wound up, I get very, very upset, and, you know, did that with Piers Morgan because he's always been a bully. I was not going to let him bully me, so I just basically dominated him. But I want to play you a clip here because this is what was said last night, amongst other things. They said they hope my children don't end up dead, and then there was this. So I'm going to play it for you now. Piers Morgan and guests discuss shooting. Alex Jones, Daily Beast writer Buzz Bissinger, says Piers Morgan should pop Alex Jones with a semi-automatic weapon. Then Huntsman's daughter, Abby Huntsman of the Huffington Post, says, I'd love to see that. Laughter in a uniform. Piers Morgan, I'd borrow my brother's uniform, who reportedly is an Army officer. So I guess if it's a uniform, it's okay. I want to play this clip and get your take on it. Here it is.
Yeah, but what do you need a semi-automatic weapon for? The only reason I think you need it is, Pierce, challenge Alex Jones to a boxing match, show up with a semi-automatic that you got legally, and pop him.
I'd love to see that. In uniform.
I'll borrow my brother's uniform.
That's enough. I'll borrow my brother's uniform. And then there was talk of, I hope my children don't get killed. And this is entering a whole nother level of Creepville.
What they did there is reveal the heart of the leftist. The leftist is about force. They're about imposing their righteousness on us schlubs that don't know what's good for us. And it's such a delightful topic to talk about, offing some loudmouth like Alex Jones. That'll teach those bumpkins a thing or two, won't it?
Yeah, I guess it will. My children were there watching when their deaths were being discussed. I mean, they're clearly trying to terrorize the entire American people with these shootings. While they're horrible, statistically, it's one of the rarest forms of death.
Right. Along with our general murder rate, which is declining. And I was just looking at something. Happily, my son Eric pulled something up that's quite good. There's an underreporting of murder data in England, which is always held up as the country that's so wonderful compared to ours. British crime, I'm quoting from the finding, reporting tactics keep murder rates artificially low. And then this is a quote from a report from the Inspectorate of Constabulary. Suppose that three men kill a woman during an argument outside a bar. They are arrested for murder, but because of problems with identification, quote, the main witness is dead, charges are eventually dropped. In American crime statistics, the event counts as a three-person homicide. But in British statistics, it counts as nothing at all. And then the report is quoted directly here. With such differences, this is British, 2000, homicide rates, with British homicide rates, is a sham. That's the British cop group, the Inspectorate of Constabulary.
Well, can I have that headline? Because I've got the Telegraph and others admitting that they're the crime capital of Europe. Switzerland has the lowest crime rate in the world. Because, of course, they have more guns. But you can just type in Britain or England, the crime capital of Europe. People are beat, stabbed, you name it. But, yeah, I read all the time where if you fist fight someone raping your wife that busts in your house, they throw the book at you. You know, the farmer who'd been robbed three times defending himself, and they threw him in prison. I mean,
they probably give some condoms to the guy that was raping your wife and tell him to clean up his act.
Amazing. I know. I mean, but see, that's on purpose. They want, that's a criminal government with trying to team up with the criminals. Why do they love crime-ridden cities run by mafias?
Well, because we're then terrorized and we must depend all the more for our, quote, protection on the very authorities that have put us into that predicament to begin with. And I don't know whether they're accepting it in England, although it is, as the Telegraph said 2 days after that Piers Morgan interview, it is the fourth most violent country in the world. Violent crime, which would include murder, but also rape and everything else that's
and that's with watered
crime.
Down numbers, because I've seen those numbers before that they just let murder. I mean, they don't even investigate when they come to your house and you and your wife are chopped up. I mean, it's just like. You could have the neighbor running around with a hand in their, you know, hand of a chopped off person. They just say, "Oh, no big deal."
Right? They do not believe in self defense. That farmer, it was infamous, that up in the little town of Norfolk in England, had after the third home invasion by the same gypsy gang members that had been terrorizing the whole area. He shot one of them in the dark of night, who was coming up the stairs, actually shot both of them and killed one of them. And for that, they gave him a life sentence, which now he's out of jail because, happily, British public opinion finally focused on that outrage.
And see, that's what scares me, is that I'm still a young man, 38, but I've got aches and pains and things and, you know, problems now from a, you know, life of action. I can't imagine once I get old and all I can depend on is the gun. I mean, if two guys are coming up my stairs, I'm going to get so angry. Even if they're pretty tough, I can probably deal with them. But not when I'm 65, 70. I need that firearm. And more now, you know, I mean, as I get older, more and more I try to avoid physical stuff. It's just natural. We need to equalize things for the infirm, the old, the women, handicapped. I mean, the real liberal thing to do is to arm women.
Exactly. Exactly. And to make it so that unarmed children can be protected by their teachers, the janitors, whatever, in schools, rather than insist for now 20 years that if we just say no guns at schools, everything will be fine. Well, everything is not fine. That's where most of our, in fact, that's where all of our mass murders have occurred, in whatever kind of gun.
I hope you can get that out tonight with Piers Morgan. 5 more minutes with our guest on the other side, gunowners.org. It's Larry Pratt.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
When you wake up in the morning.
Welcome back to the second half of InfoWars Nightly News. We got the Obama phone lady to come down to Austin, Texas. And if you're a new viewer and you missed it, it's the famous clip that we're going to play right now of her saying, hey, he gave us a phone, he's going to do more.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know? He gave us a phone.
He gave you a phone?
He's gonna do more.
How'd he give you a phone?
You sign up. If you on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey!
And so here they are, all the way from Cleveland, Ohio. We've got Harvey, her husband, and we've got Michelle Dowry right here in studio with us. Thank you for coming to Austin.
Thank you.
So what are you thinking so far?
Well, I'm liking it. I like Austin, Texas. I like what you told me about Obama and showed me on the internet what he was doing and what he's about.
And we're going to show some more of those clips here in a moment. But, I mean, talk about that. Talk about the clips you saw.
Well, I seen one clip. One clip was about me with my new job and my taxes and how much taxes they took out for me. And he said he wouldn't do that. So there he is saying that he's going to do something, and he did other.
And let's be clear. I'm not here trying to get you to support Mitt Romney. I didn't support Mitt Romney.
No, you told me that. You
in fact, I'm going to show you.
For Romney or you for Obama.
In fact, I'm going to give you some documentaries like Terror Storm.
Right.
That exposes Bush involved in, or at least elements that control him, in allowing terror attacks to take place to take our liberties.
Right.
My whole issue is I'm here to shoot down politically this whole facade.
Right.
That's my goal. And it's annoying to me to know that the big mega banks, they want taxes higher on the average people because there's hundreds of millions of us that turns into trillions because they take that money offshore. It's the big banks that get those bailouts.
Right.
They're always criticizing people who are down and out, getting a little bit of help, welfare. Right. My issue is that most welfare is corporate welfare. And if we're going to have corporate welfare like General Motors, I want General Motors to stay in America, not to move to China.
Right.
Harvey, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I'd rather for them to stay here in America because we need the jobs in America.
Especially if we bail them out.
Right.
Yeah, we bail them out. We got to have the jobs in America. We can't send them over there because all the taxes and money going over there.
It's amazing. And they spin it and say, oh, well, we're going to help other countries giving them jobs. All they do is basically force the people off their farms in China and make them go work as slaves in those factories. Mm. Did you know they have suicide nets around the Apple factories in China? Because they go up on top of the building and jump off.
Oh, and then they catch them and make them go back to work.
I'm not joking. In fact, folks, that sounds so insane. Will you guys type in suicide nets at Foxconn factories? That's the subcontractor. Again, this stuff's so crazy. I say it and feel like a liar.
But then when you show it, like you showed me in the interview with the radio station, you showed me how, yeah, you got a job, but look how many took 2% more taxes. But just a couple years ago, he said he won't do that.
Well, actually, it's 3.8 and then another 2% and then another 3-something on investments. Yeah. Ooh. Let's say you're 401k, where they just take that off. There it is. Inside Apple's Foxconn factories. See the suicide nets?
Yep.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy.
Scroll down and show them.
That is crazy.
And by the way, they now forced drug them, reportedly, and they have forced abortions inside the factory.
I think that sucks.
Why is that?
I wish they'd make a Django movie about that, showing some communist Chinese getting busted up instead of trying to create division. See, here's the difference. I didn't bring you here to put you down and make Democrats look bad. Because I understand they give you the Democrat or the Republican choice.
Right.
They're both a con game.
Both of them.
Getting clowned both ways.
Right.
I brought you here to bring us together.
Right.
And say, we've got to stand up and demand we be treated like human beings, or all of us, like Ross Perot said, NAFTA and GATT would create a giant sucking sound.
Right.
It would bring us down, not Mexico up. And Mexico went down and we went down, didn't
we? Right.
Yeah.
We went right down with them.
For real.
I mean, did things get better after NAFTA and GATT?
Nope.
No, sir.
Nope. And see, that's real, because when me and you was in our news cam, you know, when we were interviewing for the radio station, you showed me how he said it. He said it in his own words. It was Obama face, and it was Obama talking, saying he would not cut a person like me 20 or 30,000 a year our taxes. Here I am. I just got a job. My taxes are cut.
Oh, so he did everybody.
He did everybody.
They say 200,000 or more, didn't he?
250,000
or more.
And people, 77% of Americans, people making under 30,000, right around 30,000, depending on how they break it down, you get 3.8% taken out on top of 10% already.
So
that's the thing. When you get unemployment and all that, you already paid into that.
But see, that's like misleading us saying he's the president. You know, and if you don't know, like, you know, you showed me the incidents with the Happy Meal, and that's true. Here you is getting a Happy Meal that's worth $2, a cheeseburger and a fry, a dollar piece, because it's 99-cent menu. But I'm going to throw in this toy for free because it's a kid's. And I know I'm going to get a lot of fools to buy this Happy Meal for $4 or $5 when it's only worth $2. Woody bought a million and billions of those toys just to throw it in the box.
Exactly. So
same thing is with the phones.
$47 trillion since 2008 has been given one way or another to foreign banks.
Right.
And a couple hundred billion in infrastructure. Can you imagine if they put $47 trillion
into that?
If you divided $47 trillion amongst 315 million Americans, what's the math on that?
Woo!
At least about 56.
That's like blind.
I think it's more than that.
That's like blind to the fool of Obama phone lady.
Well, no. Listen, the Obama phone's corporate welfare. They give a handful of corporations all this money on track phones that are $25 at Walmart. I found out what the government's paying for those, almost $100 a piece.
What?
It's right. Another payoff.
Right.
And they're only getting 200 minutes?
Not even that. The track phone that they give you, the phone that Obama give you, oh, it's worth more than me buying a Revo.
By the way, that's $134,000 a piece if they divided that money up amongst us.
Who making the money?
Well, that's the crazy thing. These mega banks aren't even getting that money. It's to back up derivatives that people like Ken Lay developed, but also Bernie Madoff. But he went to jail for $100 billion theft. This is trillions. They've connected all this fraudulent money that was never real onto our economy. And so they threaten us. They go, if you don't pay this off, at least just pay the interest on it. That's what the $47 trillion is for. So it's actually $1,500 trillion. It's more money than there is in the whole world many, many times over. It's all a scam.
Jack.
These con artists created all this money and then bought the politicians with fiat money made out of nothing and got them to sign us on to their debt.
To their debt. And put their name up.
Like, anyways, I'm here ranting. It's just, let's play a clip that she's talking about. Let's go through these clips. Here is the clip of Obama 4 years ago in the last campaign saying, hey, I won't raise your payroll taxes, right. None of your taxes. And then we've shown you the news articles where 77% of Americans, or basically anybody that gets payroll taxes, who's working, you get more money taken out, hundreds of dollars a month on average. Here's that clip.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase. Not your income tax, not your payroll tax, not your capital gains taxes, not any of your taxes.
So that's the same clip we played on the radio. Let's play one more clip of Obama promising, there's a bunch of these lies,
right,
to never try to take anybody's guns. Let's go to that clip right now.
When y'all go home and you're talking to your buddies and they say, he wants to take my gun away. You've heard it here. I'm on television, so everybody knows it. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in people's lawful right to bear arms. I will not take your shotgun away. I will not take your rifle away. I won't take your handgun away.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
So there's just a couple of lies. We played more on the radio. What's your take on this?
It's like he buffed us up to get into something and did show us something different. I'm talking about from the last four years I campaigned for him. He said what he was going to do to Lee and Harvard. Lee and Harvard still looks the same.
Describe that. That's a neighborhood.
That's a neighborhood where Obama, when he first came, for the first 4 years, a lot of black minorities helped them in that community and reached out and did what they did. Then I was one of those that worked for him in that community 4 years ago, and he told us, just like you showed me the clip, I wish I could have saved the clip from Lee in Harvard, because he said he was going to rebuild this. He was going to make the traffic light different. He was going to do all this to Lee in Harvard because he won his first election. Now that he's won the first election, that was 4 years ago. It's almost now 5 years, and Lee in Harvard in Cleveland, Ohio is still the same. But he had that office, said Obama office. People like me 4 years ago went there and worked for him and did what we did to get him an election. It's going on 5 years. Lee and Harvard still look the same. Same thing with me on my behalf. You said, even though I found out you wasn't the man for the Obama phone, but when you got an election, the Obama phones were passed. By me telling people, how I want to say it, it's like leading them on to something that was not true.
It's all a con game. Even if you get something, it's money they already stole from you some other way.
Right.
My point is, these people are not trying to give anybody a free lunch. And then what happens is people then just start buying into the system, going, well, it's corrupt. I'll just screw anybody I can to get ahead. Then everybody starts screwing everybody.
Right.
Then the whole society collapses.
And
then
see, that's what we're hitting. Do you ever go to some of the churches? I go to church. I go to Anointed Gates in Cleveland, Ohio. And our pastor was telling us that if you don't get your line in order with God now, because even with Obama, you ain't heard him say one thing. I pledge allegiance to the flag. You know, we used to sing when we start school. We see they don't have that in the schools no more. And look what they got in there. They got the guns, the man coming in, killing the kids, all that going on. But first and foremost, every morning I wake up, I thank God because I'm breathing and I got another day. Same thing with Obama. Obama got a person like me. They called me the Obama phone lady. He got a person like me, give me more than I was worth, because I got a job now. I didn't make as much as I made when I worked for Obama, but he reared me in to work. And here I was, quote unquote, illiterate. And as soon as I got my check, I'm like, you mean to tell me by me working for Obama, I got all the money? Not nan dollar of taxes went out my check. Where can you work with? I wouldn't care who you work for. The taxes got to come out. I worked for Obama. No government took my food stamps or anything. And that's just right. That's a incident I seen with my own self that was not even right.
That's because Obama's a made man. You're working for the big guy then.
Well, even if you is working for the big guy, where's my tax dollars going? And they didn't take out any. That's a scam. I don't care who you work for. The law is the same as with me and anybody else. They're going to take Obama guns and put them off, take the street people guns and take them off and let him have the guns? No. That's why they're doing what they're doing now with these guns and everything, you know?
Now, you had a few different views yesterday. Our talk, did that help things click, or what happened?
Oh, with your talk and what me seeing with my own eyes. Thank God that I did come here to be on the Alex Jones show, because one thing that caught my eye was my taxes. And I seen that my taxes out my check, like, it went up. Even if you put two or three kids, I put five. And it still was high. They took over like $30, $40, you know? And that money, who is that money going to? Just corruptive. I felt that's corrupt.
Well, I mean, he said
he wouldn't take my
listen,
money.
What's sick, I told you about Kennedy, and anybody right. can pull this up.
Right.
Depending on the tax bracket, 50% cut, 30% cut, but he cut taxes massively.
Right, for us low minority people.
Well, he did.
20,000, 30,000.
Kennedy actually cut the taxes, and guess what happened? Tax receipts double. People go, well, how does more money come in if you tax less? Because if you give people their own money, they go out and spend it.
Right.
And now all the chain reactions, and then all this money comes in.
Turning back around.
Then I believe
so why do they want high taxes then? Because they can pick the winners and the losers. The big, have you heard about General Electric and people paying no tax?
Right.
I ain't heard that one yet.
These big, type it in, folks. General Electric paid zero tax. Google paid 3.5 or something.
What, they got some write-offs?
I'm paying over 40%. They wrote the laws. All these, the real ultra-rich are exempt.
Yeah.
That's why Howard Dean came out a month ago and he said, oh, no, poor people need to pay more tax. Really?
Why not the rich?
Really, really. Everybody, listen, I got family that are professionals. They aren't living as good as they were 20 years ago.
Right, no one
is. They can't, I mean, and they're getting, you know, weird audits and bills and stuff doesn't, I mean, everybody I know is having trouble.
Right.
Okay, and I live in one of the wealthiest cities in the country. There it is, GE. And by the way, GE lobbies, they lobbied for these tax increases. You know why? Because they're a bank. They're bank-owned. They get banker bailout money. They get tax money. They're the biggest welfare queens in the world.
Yeah.
GE? Yeah.
All of them. It is unbelievable, the government contracts they get.
And they be just giving them money.
And then
right
now
back.
That since I met you, Alex Jones, it seemed like more of the poor that I've seen vote for Obama and go out and do what they needed to do to get him an election, we still in the same bracket 4 years ago.
No, exactly. They're experts in conning people because, you know, we're in countries in trouble. People need money. Hey, do whatever. Help me. They don't want to help you because they want to make you poor so they can control you and buy you for nothing.
Keep us conscious.
See, look. People that have got money in their own jobs, their own companies, what are they? They're self-sufficient. They have a word for it. It's called uppity.
Right.
And they want the American people to not be uppity.
And quote, unquote, what they're doing to our brothers and sisters now. I got teenagers and like a 23, 21. They want to frame them, give them a number, send them to prison for the little stupid things. When, quote, unquote, where I live in Cleveland, it's a lot of work need to be done there. You know, if I was the president, what I could do? And I know it takes time, but like I'm saying, 4 years ago, now it should be in the working. You won again? I got a 21-year-old, went to jail. But if there aren't any jobs and all he knows is this quick money, what would you do?
You're going to Listen, you know what's come out in Congress? Mm-hmm. The drugs are shipped into the communities by the government. The big banks on record. Guys, pull up Bloomberg. Bloomberg.com, 376 laundered drug money. $376 billion laundered drug money. That's just Wachovia and Wells Fargo in 2 years laundered $376 billion. Now, if they decriminalized drugs, there wouldn't be any money in it, people wouldn't be shooting each other, and they wouldn't have an excuse to bust in your house. They put something out as an excuse to get you tied into it to take you to jail.
Yeah.
See, I've seen that with my own.
Oh, there it is. Banks financing Mexican gangs admitted in Wells Fargo deal. And let's show them the article. They ran the aircraft, everything. In the article, it says
they found 126 black.
Yeah. But that's not even the
black.
Where's the article that says 376 billion? That's one of the articles, but it's 376 billion. This is a mafia, and they're a mafia that to feel good about all the evil they're engaged in, they just say we're all a bunch of animals and deserve it. Meanwhile, they're just wrecking society. And the elite's own kids get destroyed by this. We have USA Today. Let's put that up. Wachovia Bank helped launder Mexican drug money. Let's scroll down. Does it say 307? There it is. 300. Oh, excuse me. It was 2 billion more than I said. 378.4 billion.
That's a lot.
Let me tell you, cops pull me over for an expired sticker or something. They go, we want to search your car for drugs. Man, I start laughing. I go, you mean the drugs getting laundered in that Wells Fargo right there?
We're going past right. You.
You're a joke, man. You know full well the government deals the drugs. And a lot of the cops go, yeah, we know. Okay, Facebook.com/Obama phone lady.
All right, I got my own.
And we're going to put it right up there on screen for everybody. And taking us out is Obama phone lady.
I'm going to see you guys later. Nice being in Austin, Texas.
Good having you. Good having Harvey. We really enjoyed hanging out with you. I interviewed the Obama phone lady for more than 2 hours on radio and TV. If you want to see all of it, it's posted at our video site, PrisonPlanet.tv, and also InfoWars.com. That's it for this Sunday transmission. Great job to the crew, Chris Alanis and CJ and others. And Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Until then, remember, freedom is not free. If you will not defend the Republic, you will lose your rights and be a slave.